Hello, this is your host, astrologer Shelley Entine, today speaking about the Pisces new moon, which will arrive on February 19th for the Pacific Standard Time, 11:05 p.m., and then in the morning, early, that would be for the East Coast, 2:06 a.m. Eastern on Monday. So, there you are with this 01 Pisces degree. And so, we're right at the beginning of this shift, in a sense, into the Pisces energy, which would have happened when the moon joined the sun, and the sun had moved into Pisces. So we know the Aquarian energy is going to wane into a lot of Pisces with this particular lunation, because we still have Venus hanging on there. She's getting ready to leave, but she's a 29 Pisces, and she's still in a conjunction to Neptune in Pisces, so you've got four planets in Pisces for the new moon. And we still have some Aquarius coming in because Mercury went into that sign and is in the middle of it almost, and Saturn is still also hanging on to Aquarius, but just not much longer. So we are in a situation where, which we do get into frequently, having Neptune and Saturn and Pluto all close together within 60 degrees of each other, where at certain times all the planets line up and they're in half of the wheel. In fact, a little less than half of the wheel at this point in time, with Mars bringing up the very furthest point in Gemini, and Pluto being the rising planet at 29 Capricorn. Yes, he's still hanging on to Capricorn too. So this is a very kind of a pivotal moment energy. Pluto is going to dip into Aquarius soon. Saturn is going to shift to Pisces. Venus, which is a faster moving planet naturally, is going to go into Aries. So we are in this moment of, this is what it's been like. This is what it's been like for a while, and we're about to find out what it might be like in the future, but we're not quite there yet. So if we wanted to know, we'd have to really go into our intuitive, or really with this energy, psychic, Piscean, to see if we can get a vision for ourselves to understand what may be coming ahead. Now, it's interesting, as I mentioned, with Mercury entering Aquarius, you are combining, in a sense, the lower mind, which doesn't mean lesser than, it means the earthbound, really, the mundane mind that we need Mercury to have. You know, it's logic, it's order, it's classifying information, naming things, navigating the environment, and communicating. And receiving communication. So we have that, but now when it's in Aquarius, it is also receiving what is considered the higher mind aspect of the Uranian energy of Aquarius, which is the Zappo intuitive experience. And what we have at this point with this Mercury is an approach aspect from Mercury to square Uranus in Taurus first, and shortly thereafter trine Mars in Gemini. So the interesting thing, of course, is that Uranus is ruling Aquarius, so this square, even if it's in a fixed sign, is not quite as intensely impossible to navigate, as some of them are, what this would be is, you know, what kind of changes are happening and who doesn't want them to happen, and what is the surprising aspect of what we're learning and hearing, and can we cope with it? That kind of energy is in the Mercury square, Uranus and Taurus. But soon after, again, as I said, it will be trine Mars. They're both at 15. Uranus is at 15 Taurus, Mars is at 15 Gemini, but we have 60 minutes in the degree. So it's just that Mars is a little further ahead of the 15-17 of Uranus being at 15-49. Now, that may be too much information for you. In the technical zone, that is Mercury in Aquarius. And so the resistance to it may be the square to Uranus and Taurus. You know, I'm bringing this unusual quality into the physical world by communicating it this way. But the thing is, it's a good thing to see Mercury move on, to be able to have very accelerated with Mars, active and exciting communications about what might be possible. So this is a new moon, right? We're setting intentions for a whole new lunar cycle. So just know that there may be some resistances for you to push through in order to actually get to your own desire of what you want to see in the future, and then state that either just to yourself in your intentions list or communicate it to the world so that they know where you're headed and what you're on about. Yeah. So this is one of the pieces here, the Moon-Sun conjunction in Pisces is a trine aspect also, like Mercury will be to Mars in this chart. It's really approaching also, and it's approaching the trine to the south node in Scorpio, and then it's also sextile, approaching the sextile to the north node in Taurus. Those are still there also, but they're getting ready to shift, and they will be shifting when they get further down in degrees. But we can have some psychic input about how we have been experiencing or looking at the aspects of power, the aspects of shared resources and our commitments to things. And then we can also see where we are willing to put down our roots and be at peace and have a strong foundation. So this is kind of an interesting lunar event in this way. We still have, with Pluto at 29 Capricorn and the ongoing, it's been for a long time, square to Eris, goddess of discord, at 24 Aries. And we have seen this constantly in the outer world. But maybe we've also experienced it in the inner world, because the cage rattling of the Aries new ideas and that Pluto power in the old Capricorn, you know, this is the conservative, does not want to budge into the new. Well, that's still happening. The energy for us in our personal lives may also be the kind of rattling of a cage in something we have been involved with in our lives that, you know, we are wanting to accelerate into something new. And yet the hold of the old structures are still there for us in some ways. Jupiter in Aries for this chart is conjunct Vesta, what we will fight for. It's almost a midpoint. In fact, it is a midpoint between Vesta and Chiron. So Vesta is the asteroid of the goddess of the hearth. So she keeps things safe and she keeps things going. But she is an Aries, so she's going to fight, like literally, for what she holds dear. Chiron is giving us those lessons and revealing the wounds we've had in Aries energy. You know, we have had huge wounds in Aries energy over centuries because Aries is the sign of the individuated self. And we have not been encouraged to be individuated self. We have been encouraged to follow the rules and follow the crowd and not step out of line. So the wounds are there, and also the wounds of watching people in power abuse it. We have seen that many, many times, and we're seeing it again. And so it's an interesting thing to have Jupiter come between what I will hold dear and fight for and discovering how to become a more conscious, enlightened adversary, so to speak, or, you know, be able to take leadership and have courage in ways that aren't destructive. And Jupiter's expansion in Aries can be helpful or not, depending on which way, you know, the energy is going. If it's going towards that positive evolution of the Aries energy, then it's great. You know, Jupiter can expand into that, but also, unfortunately, it can expand into the negativity, and so we get to choose in our own self what we're going to do, but we get to watch what happens in the outer world and with others in this way. These planets in early degrees of Aries are opposing Ceres, who is the goddess of the grains in Libra. She's retrograding. She's trying to make some kind of rules that are nurturing and helpful for particularly females and mothers and children. But not just that. You know, she might be looking at regulations on certain foods and things like that. Aries energy is not helpful for those things right now. And so we'll see that going on probably in the United States in our Congress or our state legislatures. Yes, and the asteroid Pallas Athena at 10 Cancer is not far from the mix here and sort of forms a T-square for us. And Pallas is the wisdom warrior, and she's in the sign of the home and the family and how do I feel secure and get my emotional security. So this little contest here goes on, as it may be very similar in our personal lives and even in the outer to that square from Pluto to Eris. But you know, also in our own lives. So setting goals for Pisces is, you know, kind of tricky because of the tricky quality of Pisces, and that Venus-Neptune conjunction can be so profound in terms of opening the heart and understanding and being unconditional, doing your forgiveness work and all of that. But in the meantime, you know, it can also bring tremendous illusion and fantasy and may have been already being discovered that things weren't what we thought. They weren't quite as glamorous and glorious as we pictured them. And Venus has had disappointments in having this revealed to her. Well, when Venus and Pisces picks up the wounded creatures, she will be disappointed eventually, you know. And so, you know, the need to go into the compassion, even for that, that people can't live up to or circumstances can't live up to an idealized view, and have to come into a good vision that is coming from the enthusiasm of the heart, and isn't looking really for a certain outcome for the personal self necessarily. This is big stuff to have to negotiate. But this is something you can ask to have help with in your intentions. You know, the Pisces energy is good for the intentions that deal with spiritual growth and also creative growth and understanding and having that compassion. And also maybe, you know, finding out where there is illusion and fantasy and even addiction, which doesn't have to just be to substances. You know, we can be addicted to so many things. Any given moment you might notice that, wow, I always have to do this. I always have to do that. I always like that, you know. And it's not necessarily a detriment to the person. But, you know, it could be seen. And then choice comes in, you know. I have found myself saying to myself recently, you know, you don't have to do that. You could do this if you want to, which is, you know, just an acknowledgement that my feeling that I must isn't necessarily true. And so this is another thing you might want to throw into your intentions, and also the intention to see through some of these issues that I've just discussed that are being brought in at this pivotal, it's about to change into what we do not know and what we have not been accustomed to. I mean, Pluto's been in Capricorn since 2008. You are looking at, right, 15 years. And that's a long time. That's a Saturn cycle. That's actually half of a Saturn cycle. And we've had a couple of years of Saturn in Aquarius. So, what's going to change? Neptune won't scoot out of Pisces this year, but soon. That is coming. And then it will be in Aries. And what will that look like? Wow. So, and these planets may also change houses for you personally, change aspect, habits of aspects in your chart. So open up at this new moon and see if you can get a vision for yourself, as I said, as this call began. And I will wish you all the best and say goodbye for now.